My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
I'm Hunter.
I'm Cap.
I'm Star.
I'm Christian.
And we're here to talk about the Bad Batch. We were not here last week, unfortunately, because we all had stuff going on. But we're here this week, and we are quickly going to break down episode 10, 11, and then the new episode where we get to go inside of a turbo tank more and explore that. And that episode was definitely action-based. But the two episodes before were pretty interesting. Season 3, episode 10, Identity Crisis. This was a good episode. I felt like we dived deeper into the doctor's kind of point of view. And we also got a new alien species as well, which... Well, technically not a new alien species. Most of us thought it was, but we actually first saw them in Solo, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, those the weird kind of cat look. The one that the species that had a little force sensitive baby. Yes. It did. It was initially shown in Solo, got like next to no screen time. But it was part of the Solo Denny's marketing thing and showed up in a lot of Denny's market. I think it was on the menu or on one of the Denny's cards or something. So that's really like the main place to recognize it from.
Which is so oddly specific for Denny's to pick this it one.
Is. You guys know how I feel about weird Star Wars marketing stuff. I love everything they did for the Phantom Menace. So I am 100% here for weird Star Wars fast food tie-ins.
Oh yeah. I never asked you this, but I'm curious. How did you feel that specifically that the marketing was for Pepsi and not Coke? Are you guys, is everyone here like more Pepsi people or more Coke people?
Coke.
Coke.
I'm agnostic, I guess.
Hunter drinks water.
Yeah, I was gonna say I really don't drink soda either. So I was just like, okay, but I know there's someone on our podcast, his name's James, and he said that if the marketing back then was for Coke, he probably would have of a lesser point of view for the movie. I don't know if he was joking about that, but I was like, okay, that's kind of wild, but okay.
What I'd be interested to see is how Disney would have incorporated a Pepsi design into the universe.
Yeah.
Versus a Coke design.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're not Coke influenced me either way. Yeah. I mean, they're like Coke now, because if you go to Galaxy's Edge, they have different Coke products, so
right.
Yeah, I don't know why we spent a minute just diving into that. Sorry, but okay.
Important things, Colin.
But yes, so we are in the marketplace. There is this the baby is force sensitive, and basically this Aqualish is like, you know what, I am going to rat out this force sensitive baby because they threw a fruit and I'm not having it. And the bounty hunter that shows up is Cad Bane. Were we kind of expecting Cad Bane to show up in this episode, or
yeah,
were we just like kind
of, yeah, it's yeah, the episode that makes the most sense for him.
Yeah, he's always kidnapping children, so you know.
Yeah,
after
he'd be back.
I just thought he was going to be in a bounty hunter arc. You know what I mean? Like when we watched the trailer, it was like, we've got Ventress, you've got Fennec, you've got Cad Bane. I thought they were all going to clash and have this like fight, and it was weird for them to just have these little separate appearances.
From the trailers, I would have thought the same thing, but by the time we got to where we're at now in the season, after not seeing Cad Bane in the bounty anytime there was a bounty hunter on the screen before this, we're like, okay, you've got to show up at some point. And then he says, class one bounty hunter. And they're like, all right, that's got to be Cad. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's also not the first time Cad Bane's been kidnapping four sensitive kids.
Exactly. I think a big moral of this episode is that Cad Bane is kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Yep.
just a little, just a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we are back on Tantus, and we have learned that the Empire in the vault is a bunch of Force-sensitive kids that have been captured throughout the galaxy. Most likely, Cad Bane has been the one that's been mainly bringing men, just because he has the most experience kidnapping children for a dark cause. I guess I don't know.
Yeah, were you guys surprised at what was in the vault? I mean, I kind of, after what we saw in the earlier episode, and you're showing Palpatine, there's these big like vats with something in them. I was like, oh, it's going to be all these experiments and stuff.
Yes, that's what I thought it was going to be. So with the Force sensitive kids being in there, I was like, oh, okay. So we were misled in the first couple episodes.
I think it's a combination of things. I think the vault contains the kids. I think there's also other stuff in the vault.
Yes. Okay. I did not necessarily expect to see
children. Kids.
Right.
And we knew they were doing blood experiments. I just assumed they had a sample of Palpatine's blood or something, and that's what they were testing.
Yeah.
All of the other samples. And it wasn't that they were harvesting this. Like, that's real messed up. They're basically just keeping kids there to harvest their blood.
Yeah.
It's very on brand for the Empire.
Yeah.
And we just kind of throughout the episode, like, we just spend more time of building more character development for the Doctor. And she also visits Nala Se to like get confirmation of like what was actually going on. And you see that she's feeling more bad about what the Empire is kind of doing, and I think she's getting more guilt. So I think with going all the way to 12 of where we see Omega back, I think it's going to get to the point where Omega is going to recruit her, and then they're going to start trying to help break people out. I don't know what's going to happen, but yeah.
That's like a question I have going back and forth in my mind. Is Emery going to commit to the cause of saving the clones, or is she just going to feel enough guilt that it's going to be one of those scenarios where she just like turns a blind eye to the security system because she has sympathy for Omega? Like, what extent is she going to be redeemed? Because this episode, number or
10.
Yeah, I think it's 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
That episode definitely made it seem like she is on a track towards redemption because she's really feeling guilty about torturing kids, which rightfully so, because that's a not good thing to do.
Yes.
Bad vibes.
Yeah.
So, and what do you guys think about that? Do you think she's going to like fully turn? Is she going to like join the Bad Batch crew, or is she just going to be like,
I don't know what I think is going to happen. I know what I don't want her to, partially because she's been experimenting on clones potentially for years. She's been working with Dr. Hemlock and has been on Tantus. And so like, I get that like experimenting on kids is certainly worse than experimenting on clones, but like, she's clearly like been doing this for a long time. And she's also did this to Omega for a while. And so it seems a little fast for her to see like three children and then be like, wait, actually suddenly, because I saw these kids, now everything I've done to Omega, everything I've done to Crosshair, everything I've done to every other clone that I didn't feel bad about, suddenly anyway, that would feel a little fast in my opinion. So I hope that it's more like she turns a blind eye and she helps them out because she's like got it weighing on her conscience, but not like full flip. I don't know.
She's also, I mean, and so to me, this is Her character is very similar to what could have happened to Omega if she stayed with Nalase. Mm-hmm. I think, and this is her older too. So it's to me, it's just very interesting of where her mindset is, and I think we'll get to that point of where, you know, where she'll probably end up being at that point where she might turn a blind eye or she might fully join the Bad Batch, but it's kind of, I feel like all paths are kind of leading into that direction. And I think her intentions where she was like, you know, I've been here long enough. You no longer have Nala say, I should be the new person in charge of this department. So I think after she took control of that, she's starting to grow that conscious. And I think we might get to that point. But something else that I wanted to talk about is we have a cameo of Tarkin. And all Tarkin has cared about, I mean, and honestly, like throughout the Bad Batch and Rebels and a bunch of different other projects, he really cares about the budget of the Empire. And I just think that's so interesting because that was not the first thing that would pop in my head. It was like, oh, it's Tarkin. And then he's like, listen, we need to do budget cuts.
He's basically like, Watto at this point.
Yeah.
It's good, though. I really love that. It's a touch of realism because if you're trying to introduce this sort of political background, the budget, it really matters. And it makes it feel very grounded in like the real world. So I actually really like that. I'm glad you pointed that out, Colin.
I think especially for Tarkin, because Tarkin's big thing is Stardust overall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. And we know how expensive that is. And if you go through the Thrawn books, it's a thing that's talked about in the every single book that builds up to him learning what Project Stardust is, about how much this is costing, about how convoluted it is to get things for it. So I imagine it's going to be like part of his like, oh, we need budget cuts is because of why does the Emperor care so much about this project and how can I kill this project?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And this is where it comes in, where we know that Tarkin doesn't know anything about Project Necromancer because he actually goes to ask Hemlock and Hemlock is like, I can't tell you, it's classified. Mm-hmm. So that shows you how like secretive that this project is compared to Stardust, compared to the Death Star, which we'll find out later. So that means not everyone in the Empire like really knew what was going on, except the Emperor. I think the Emperor is the only one that knew all plans going around. Even though I always thought in my mind that maybe Tarkin was kind of in that chain of like trust and everything, but it sounds like he wasn't because he didn't know what was going on with it. So I find that really interesting. Yeah. But yeah, so one of the kids tried to escape. And then you see more development for the main character of the story of the doctor. And then it turns out she actually kept the doll that Omega made it in that first episode of the season, and she gives it to one of the children to make her feel better. And then that's the end of the episode. And this episode was kind of anticipated of what was going to happen because, you know, we have the planet of Papu. I don't know. Thank you. and it gets invaded by the Empire. Do we all see that coming?
It's in the trailer.
Yeah. I think everyone probably expected that it was going to go south for him on Pabu at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It was
too much of a happy ending.
Yeah.
In season 2. So I don't think that's really, it wasn't a surprise to me. Mm-mm. At least. No.
It was going too well for them.
I was a little surprised about how it went down.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily. I can't say I'm really surprised, but I also didn't really expect him to go the route of Omega giving herself up.
Yeah.
And also putting all the other members of the batch in so much danger.
Yeah.
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 We open up on a different space station that we haven't really seen before. I don't think, at least. It was on an asteroid. And Fee is refueling, and we have the sleeper agent, which we still don't know who it is, but I think theories have gotten to a point where a lot of people are thinking that they actually cloned Crosshair, and it's just another...
No,
it's I don't buy it. So, it's too quick.
Yeah, that'd be so fast.
Yeah. Like, to accelerate aging that much, this dude would already be like 70 in a year.
I still think we're looking at possibly Cody or another former character we know, because they're like, some people have been talking about, oh, there's some flourishes that he does that Tech also does, because he has a little spin when he pulls his rifle off the pack. Cody does the same spin when he pulls the knife off his belt in the second season. On Cody. The only thing for me, if it was Tech, he'd know where Pabu was.
I know. I think it's unless someone completely random.
Unless his brain is nobody.
That's the thing, though. Right. I'm leaning more towards Star saying it's someone else entirely, just based off the most recent episode.
No, like, I mean, like, literally, like, I don't even think it's another character. Like, I think it's just, like, every
I think it's I think it is a CX clone, and that's it. There's nothing else.
That's what I think, too. Yeah.
I think it's either going to be that or it's going to be Cody. And I think it's going to be Cody partially because that is a storyline that has not been tied off yet.
Yeah.
And she and Rex were buddies. Cody's not hanging out and fishing on the ATTE with him and Gregor and Cody. Mm-hmm. So that's got to happen at some point. And my fear in my mind, and where I see it going in the back of my mind, is Rex and Echo are going to help them siege Tantus, and then they're going to show up and the CX is going to be there and something's going to happen and that CX's mask gets ripped off and it's Rex there and he's like facing down Cody.
Yep.
And has to make that decision, because that is the most painful thing that Dave could do to us, and it is so on brand. That's what I fear in my mind, but also what I feel is likely.
I mean,
it's just a bar all over again.
There was a conversation with Deborah Chow when they were doing the Kenobi series, where she had talked to Dave about Cody's story, about if Cody could get, you know, the chip out, and how Cody would have met his fate ultimately wandering the sands of Tatooine, trying to find Obi-Wan to apologize to him, but failing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I could see them twisting the knife on Cody as much as possible. I could also see them just not touching Cody again.
Yep. But there was all those rumors about Cody being a part of the Kenobi series.
Yeah.
And they pulled that full storyline from that show.
Yeah.
Which kind of lines up with the time period for writing Bad Batch stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why they pulled it.
I mean, honestly, I think all of you are wrong, and it is Commander Gree, and they just sewed his head back on.
Oh my God.
No, see, now that is a plot twist.
There it is.
I don't think they sewed his head back on. I think it's just the head.
And the like a battle droid body.
Ah, man. Okay,
I've got my Tech theories, but I won't go into them now. When we get to the last episode, I'm going to give you something.
Okay. So the sleeper agent, he sneaks onto Fee's ship and, you know, gets all the information he needs. And then, I believe this is one of the only episodes where Scorch's name was actually name dropped, right?
Yeah.
I think it is the only time he's referred to as Scorch.
Yeah. That's pretty
crazy.
In
this episode specifically, I think in actually a previous episode, what's his name? Hemlock actually says Commander Scorch. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think it was actually
in the Emery episode. I could be wrong in episode 10, but I feel
it
like
was, yeah.
Commander Torch in that one. And I was like, whoa. But then they did it again in this one. So I think these two episodes, it was like, oh, wow, they're really.
Yeah. They're just really making sure everyone knows this is Scorch and there's no more Delta Scorch.
Hashtag not my Scorch.
Yeah.
But crush your dreams.
Really weird, different Scorch. That
it is not Scorch as we know him.
No,
this is upside down Scorch.
Yes, it's like brainwashed Scorch, different person in that armor or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's weird. Yeah.
So we then go to the planet of Pabu, and we have the Bad Batch. They are getting ready to go, and before they get ready to go and you know, try and save Omega and get her in a safe spot, Omega goes to a museum, you know, kind of Indiana Jones, you know, Easter egg there. and she leaves Tech's glasses, his goggles, behind to show, you know, how much that this place, that the city meant to the Bad Batch, and they wanted to honor Tech's memory as well. Mm-hmm. So I think them kind of focusing on that, you know, it might indicate, you know, maybe not everything is the way that it seems. And I think I'm more on the side of where Cap is about it being Tech, because it's just the way that the sleeper moves. It just reminds me a lot of Tech, but we get to the point of where the sleeper hides in the same cave as Ventress.
Keep an eye on those caves, guys.
Yeah.
So one thing I've learned from Star Wars is at least you watch the caves.
Yeah.
And then they blow up the Marauder.
Oh,
so sad.
Yeah,
heartbreaking.
At least he saved Gonky.
Yes. Where is Gonky? Is he okay?
Is he all right?
we don't see him in the next episode.
So yeah, what if Wrecker was just unconscious and then dropped him and he just sank?
That's what I was worried about.
That did not happen.
No, it's fine. Gonky floats.
Oh man,
he's fine.
Yep,
you better. Be
and the Empire's called. They come in. Also, we haven't seen the mayor since the last season, and I think this is the only episode that the actual mayor of the entire city has seen.
Where he's being arrested.
Yeah.
Poor Shep.
And they're just hiding out. They're like trying to survive. Hunter tries to take a gunship over. That doesn't work out.
I almost thought he was gonna die there, and I got really scared.
I mean, that the X-Clone
we were worried,
blooded in that scene.
Yeah,
because he's standing there and he gets the report and he can see the one gunship behaving erratically, and he doesn't even bat an eye. He's like, okay, kill the pilot.
Yeah,
cold.
And then we have Omega. She makes a sacrifice of where she turns herself in, because if she doesn't, the Empire is going to just completely destroy the city. And we really see of the love and care that Crosshair has grown for Omega as a brother. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to find like any other path that will not lead them to that, because they don't want to lose Omega again. Mm-hmm. And Omega makes a sacrifice of doing that with a backup plan in place of where they'll have a tracker. Omega will have a tracker, and then if not, then Crosshair will put the tracker on onto the sleeper ship.
Womp womp.
We'll get to that in a second. Because she turns herself in, and then Crosshair is running. Did we think that he was going to make that shot?
Yes, I thought. I totally thought he was going to. I thought he was going to die. And then I was like, he'll make the shot. Of course he will, because this will be different than when she turns herself in at the end of season two.
Yeah.
And so I was really wanting there to be something different, because otherwise it's really similar. So I figured this is cool. He'll make the shot. And then they have a way to find Tantus. Now, given what happens with the next episode, I like it. But
yes.
Yeah.
I kind of thought it was going to be hit, not redemption, but him, like all his hard work at trying to work on himself, which you didn't see a ton of in the past episodes, but you have to assume he's still trying to. Yes, Hannah, exactly. I thought this was going to be his, like, I made it moment, you know?
Yeah.
I think I've always pegged it as like he's gonna have that moment at the finale, like right when he dies. Sorry, predictions, but like that's what I think is gonna happen. And so I didn't think he was gonna make this shot, because I think they're gonna save it for like one of the finale episodes and be like, oh yeah, yay, he can finally shoot things again.
Yeah. I could see that too.
Yeah.
So he misses the shot, the ship takes off, and they go in hyperspace, and all hope is lost.
Yep.
There you go. But then we go to this episode, and it's episode 12, and it's called The Juggernaut, which was super, super cool, because that turbo tank as seen in episode 3 was so cool.
So good.
And we only got a glimpse of
tank?
It.
I love this thing. The Turbo Tank is one of my favorite clone vehicles, so I was stoked as soon as we saw it in the trailer.
It is a vehicle I wish we got so much more of in Clone Wars.
I know. Yes.
And to me, it's funny because if we've got it a lot since then, but it hasn't been in the Clone Wars era. It's like either been in Bad Batch, The Mandalorian, or Rogue One is like the main areas that we've seen it. And it's not used.
It's a clone turbo tank. What do you use it for? Prison transport.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's like,
they're probably kind of retired vehicles at this point.
Yeah.
Using them out. So they're just using an old bus to transport prisoners somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a super cool bus.
The coolest bus ever.
Yes. A highly weaponized bus.
A bus with very big wheels and very low ground clearance.
So we open up the episode actually kind of leading directly where we left off in the last one. And we know that they have gotten back to Tantus. Omega is captured. And to me, it seems like Omega still has that mindset of being like, I am going to break out of here. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to save everyone. And that just shows you how determined she is. And then after see her, you know, kind of processing everything, we then cut back to Pabu. Wrecker's still waking up. Crosshair looks very disappointed, but he is also determined, and they come up with a plan where go ahead.
I want to point out one thing here that I think is a really important Crosshair moment, when he's like, I knew about Rampart in the back of my mind. But I didn't want to bring it up. I think him being like, he's not a very trustworthy source, that's totally valid. The main thing, him saying, I just never, ever wanted to think about going back there. And that's him admitting his trauma more than he has this whole season. And I think that's a really important moment for him.
I do too. And I also thought, like, when, like, kind of going off what you said in episode, I think it's 6, when he's first talking to Rex on Teth, and they're asking him all these questions about Tantus, and he seems really shady. Like, he's like, I don't know the coordinates. And it's like, he doesn't know the coordinates, but I remember watching the episode and being like, there's something he's not telling them. And finally getting this episode and being like, oh, that's what it is. He doesn't know the coordinates, but he does know a way to get them.
Yeah.
But he really, like you said, he does not want to face that trauma of going back. And it also kind of seemed him saying like, oh, it's a laugh. It kind of seems like he didn't want to tell the batch about it. to like kind of remove it from them as an option to even go, because like they have Omega, why do they need to go now? And no one's like, well, nobody needs to do that, let's just take that out of the equation.
I guess that kind of makes sense because from the start he's always been the coldest towards the Reg. And while Omega may be ultra motivated to save all the clones, Crosshair cares most about his tight-knit family.
There's a comment Omega makes to Crosshair when he's practicing and like, you know, doing his like, he's taking his practice shots and he's missing the target, where she talks about technically being the older sister because she is older than them. And a part of me wondered, like, if she is cloned about the same time as Boba, then there's a very high possibility that when, like, she's been a part of the fundamental cloning process since she was old enough to understand what was happening. Because if she's unaltered, that means she never had any accelerated aging. Yeah. But she was definitely old enough to have play a part, at least at the tail end of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else that I wanted to point out, like about Crosshair, just kind of talking about everything and the past of Tantus, was that his hand was like shaking, like like a lot of when he brought that up, and that also shows like of the trauma that he still has, like going up in his brain about everything.
And like, because trauma can exert itself in like. The lot of physical quality, like I was a tangent, but like similar, like I had a physical I was in a car accident when I was 18, which totaled a car, like crumpled a station wagon down to just the front two seats.
Oh geez.
And ever since, like for a solid like 5 years afterwards, anytime I was hard on the brakes, my vision would narrow to pinpricks, and like I would be like trembling on my hands the
Well, and I think like kind of going off what you said, Christian, like having it be very obviously trauma, it goes off of what they did in the last episode where they're like, is it his hand that's or the problem, or is it something in his like trauma in his like actual like head? Like it's him induced and he has to figure it out himself. And so like they really did a good job showing that, because they've always shown it with him sniping before.
Yeah.
And
like having it's not him here, really it's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And then Fee and AZ show up and they kind of join in on the plan to break out a Rampart. Now, do we all think that Rampart was still alive, or do we all think that, he's just in prison?
I didn't think about it, but hang on. I want it before we move on. Sorry, I have to do this.
Okay.
So this is my tech, like, thing.
Theory.
All right, so Fee shows up in a tunnel. They are actually in that museum right now. Okay. Yeah. And right behind her is the goggles and the Lula doll. So when she comes up in that scene, they're right behind her head.
Okay.
So that's really intentional. Then they show a different scene from a totally different angle of her, and they are again right behind her. But physically, there's no possible way for them to have been there. So you'll have to go back and look at it. So they literally animate them in two different spots to follow her face. And I just feel like that's really intentional animating, to have Tech's goggles right behind her, because it's Fee. They're his goggles. And then the previous episode. Yeah. And she's also talking about Tech at that time. Like, oh, Crosshair, you know, Tech told me about you. And so I feel like they're dropping all of these really intentional hints. Now, they could be trying to, like, throw us off, which, you know, I'm fine with that. But this is, I just keep thinking they're really going hard on the Tech stuff.
Yeah. If I can counterpoint the Tech, which is, I feel like we would have gotten something more of an interaction between the CX clone handing Omega over at that moment.
Yeah.
Just something to rub the salt in Omega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Rampart, not Rampart, Hemlock seems like the kind of guy who would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like if it happened, it would have been motivated by another character, not by the CX clone himself. Right. The CX clone is basic. Like, if it is Tech, it's the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Who the hell is Bucky?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like he would have no recollection.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ready to comply.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, and if it's tech, then that's definitely the version it has to be.
Yeah, I think so.
Otherwise, completely mind wiped.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other thing about that scene, I will say, it would have been really great to know about those tunnels like 25 minutes ago for them in world.
Yeah. An hour ago.
Yeah. That was the first thing I thought of. They're like, there's tunnels that go down to the caves where I parked my ship. And I was like, no.
Here's a better meta thing. You're telling me there's secret tunnels on this island and we don't get a line from Dee Bradley Baker talking about a secret tunnel?
Yeah.
That would have been
He has a song about it.
Wrecker could sing that beautifully.
Secret tunnel. Oh, man. But we then cut to Rampart. He's a prisoner. He's working on some type of an industrial thing. I don't think we really know what it is. It's some, I guess, some type of plumbing system.
They refer to when the Batch is hatching their plan later, once they get on planet, they say, oh, he's about to be transferred from the mining facility or mining compound back. Okay, so it's some type of mine.
Got it.
Probably to Banagas or something.
What it clearly is another case to, you know, draw comparison to the New Republic that we see in Mando, is that it's this Empire and New Republic both just using prisoners for physical labor.
Yeah.
Yep. And
one of the things I love about this episode was the rock layers. The geology of this was I normally like to say what's wrong with it, but this time I was like, wow, this is gorgeous. They had the oil sheen that's just coming out of the mine right on the water. It looked like a beautiful minescape. Like, I had no problems with the rock formations. I loved it. I loved everything.
Well, crazy enough, they've been listening to the podcast, Star. So you're welcome.
Star really went, look at that boulder. That is a nice boulder.
I love the way that Fee does her kind of stealth, kind of landing in this. She shuts off her engines and you can see everyone like in the ship is just like, oh my God, we're all probably going to die. Like what's going on? And she does it in such a smooth way. And I love any type of scene that like shows a ship doing something that we really haven't seen before. Yeah. So I thought it was pretty cool.
I also love the background detail where you can see Hunter start to float in the free fall and his helmet.
Yeah.
And Fee's hooked her feet under the pedals so she stays in place in the scene.
Yeah. So that is pretty cool. And they end up getting onto the surface. And they sneak onto a platform. And then, you know, there is a comedic part of where the two stormtroopers are like, man, I really wish our next assignment has more action. And then they come around and they stun them and they, you know, go down. And that kind of reminds me of the two stormtroopers in Rogue One, of where they're talking about like the T-14s or T-15s.
Yeah.
And they're voiced by David Collins and Sam Witwer, so I will always remember that. But so I loved how they're kind of adding more
of
that stuff into like
I think it's fun project. When they make stormtroopers a little goofy.
I mean it's all a callback to New Hope, which is another drill. So you hear they're finally getting the new T-16 Skyhoppers. Yeah, about time.
Mm-hmm. yep so we then get to them actually running up to a turbo tank and taking over the turbo tank.
Pretty easy for them to get on there.
Yeah.
And they made quick work out of those TKs driving it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Rampart is very confused of why they're there, but once he like kind of puts everything together, then like he kind of takes over the situation. He's like,
We're skipping the magnetized container crosshair shot. No, yeah. Not.
I was just going to bring that up. Cool. And I was also going to bring up the Trandoshan that was sitting in the prisoner compartment.
Okay, all right. Okay. We'll talk away. Talk away.
Yeah, I went back and watched that part like 6 times because at first I was like, wait, he's got to be using his magnetizing disc. And then I was like, no, the whole thing's magnetized. Yeah. The whole wall is magnetized. And that made me really happy. And it realized that you don't actually have to make a super accurate shot because anywhere on the wall is going to be magnetized. And he just literally shot and it just, let's see how many we can take out by randomly shooting at the wall. I loved that. That was really fun.
I also really loved how sassy Crosshair was to Rampart throughout the whole remainder of this episode.
The banter was so good.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, Rampart, and I love that they bring him back here because, you know, he's from the first season. And so it feels like one more bookend to bring him back, you know, for, you know, almost the finale. So,
and
yeah, I
love just as much as the first season. I hate this man's guts.
I
do. Every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, you slime ball.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
You blew up Kamino.
I really hope that I really hope that Crosshair makes good on the not yet line. And
me too.
Pulls him at some point.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
in honor of the Phantom Menace, you know, anniversary coming up, he's definitely a slimo.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
You bunt the pool.
Yeah. Another thing I kept noticing throughout this episode, kind of what Cap said about like the bookends, is that they had multiple re-quoted lines that they kept putting in this episode. That the batches said before, like Wrecker being like, give us a real challenge is like that's one of his original lines. And then Crosshair saying how touching. So a lot of it like pulls back to like season 7.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if this is kind of a cinematic way to be like, hey, this is probably the batch's last mission with just the batch before they assault Tantus, just assuming here.
Yeah.
And so kind of trying to like pull back some of the like the OG vibes of the Bad Batch and be like, hey, remember, like we're kind of tying the story up.
Yeah.
It was kind of amazing.
Regardless of why they're doing it, it definitely felt like they were really, really trying to make it seem like the batch was back together. And we got a little bit of that earlier in the season too, I think, but not to this extent. And it was super fun to see all that.
Yes.
Yeah. And we then kind of have Rampart take control of the situation and was like, I'm not telling you anything until I'm off this planet and I'm free of danger. Even though it sounds like, you know, that's not going to be true because Crosshair's right there and Crosshair like really, really wants his revenge. But before they like actually start to, you know, kind of move the turbo tank away and get ready to get off planet, they actually let go all of the prisoners and including, you know, the Trandoshan. So
important.
Hunter, if you would like to talk more about that.
No, I just wanted to point out that there was a Trandoshan.
I think there's a really interesting point about them releasing all the prisoners, which is all the prisoners are still cuffed.
Yeah.
They're just like, all right, guys.
You're on your own.
We don't know where the hell you're at, but good
luck.
Well, but I think they were releasing them as a distraction, right?
Yeah they did say that.
They're not saving them.
Nope.
You're not part of the mission. Sorry.
Nope. Yep, and I believe this is the first time in the that we see the Imperial Engineers in this animation style, because we haven't seen Yeah, I think so because I don't remember seeing it throughout the Bad Batch.
For some reason, I feel like we have, but I don't remember.
I feel like we have.
But it might have just been in passing in a random Bad Batch episode. Oh, was it on?
On the second last episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
the Tarkin's facility. Okay.
Well, So either way, this is to me showing you like how close we are.
Yes.
To the old Empire really turning into like the classic Empire that we, you know, love and hate.
Related question, do you think we're gonna like in the last episode or something they're gonna show us an actual TK, like an Imperial original trilogy
really
era TK?
really would love that. I mean, I know the only time that we've gotten that was at the end of season 7, and
it looks so good.
It looks so good. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, man, if we got just Star Wars Rebels in animation style.
Well, we got Tales of the Empire coming.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to see an original TK at the end of the season, just timeline wise. I can maybe see if they pull like a Geonosis hologram of the Death Star kind of thing where it's on a wall.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking about the Tales of the Empire, do we think there's going to be any type of like hint or tie in like to that, like and the Bad Batch in some way where like it might get to the point at the end of this show where they're like, we might have to send a Sith Inquisitor, and ends up being like it ends up being Barriss Offee. There's
I feel like it's more likely for it to go the other way around.
Okay. Yeah,
like we'd get some nod to Hemlock or something else, or like a mention of Tantis in something.
Yeah,
and Tales of the Empire.
Yeah,
but it just doesn't feel like the whole Tales series, if you want to lump Tales of the Jedi and Tales of the Empire together, it doesn't feel like that's the nature or purpose of that series, because it's shorter form anthology stuff, you know?
I am very excited about that.
So of Tales of the Empire.
It's gonna be sick, and we'll definitely do a breakdown episode for that soon. For that trailer. But continuing, they end up driving the turbo tank pretty fast. They go over some of the barriers, and then we have like a full out chicken fight of a turbo tank versus a turbo tank, which was pretty cool to see.
They pushed that thing to its limits. They were drifting that turbo tank. They brought out all the armament on it. And so I brought this down so I could point at it. But we saw like all of the blasters and these sick rocket things on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it was dope to see all of this stuff that we only barely got a glimpse of Revenge of the Sith and other EU material to really see them run with such a cool, unique design for Star Wars was awesome.
Yeah.
And they end up taking out the wheels, and then they use the turbo tank as like a ramp, and then they just jump it, and then they just keep going.
I really appreciated that Hunter just like absolutely just wrecked shit in this entire episode.
He's like, let me just kick it into high gear.
It's very much the mindset of the fastest car you'll ever drive is a rental car you don't own. We're gonna rev it all the way to the rev limiter constantly.
And him, I kept thinking, like, all those barriers came, I was like, oh shoot, those barriers are gonna stop them. I guess they're not.
Come on, man.
That big blast door is going to stop them. Oh, never mind. They pulled out some more rockets. Sick.
Nope.
Oh, shoot. That other turbo tank is going to stop them. Nope. What turbo tank?
and then after Hunter hits the ramp and lands is going, Rempart sees a free blaster. He tries to get it, and Crosshair doesn't even hesitate. And he shoots the blaster out of his hand, and then he stuns him. And he's like, nope, none of my watch, man. That I'm not watching.
I thought that we were going to get another callback to his shakiness at that moment, but I didn't think it'd be a case where he accidentally killed Rampart. I thought it was going to be a case of he's going to shoot the blaster out of the hand and accidentally shoots Rampart's hand.
Oh,
he'd deserve it.
Yeah.
And then Crosshair,
I wouldn't feel bad for him.
No.
Do that. So now we get to my favorite part of the chase, and I already messaged Hunter earlier, but this is actually a Indiana Jones reference in Star. This is one that you actually know because you watched it finally.
Oh, there you go. There's a cliff. There's cliffs in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, there's
Jones
a cliff
too?
In a truck. Obviously, Indiana Jones reference.
It's a tank, technically.
So this is kind of reminiscent to the chase that we have in Indiana Jones.
Except without a horse.
Raiders of Lost Ark, and think of Hunter as Indy, where he's driving the truck, and then they have the and then they have the bad guys go on the truck and they're trying to get towards the front, and then he has to shake them off.
Yep. Yeah.
See, Indiana Jones reference.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Okay.
All right. I'll give it. I liked the
it's Indiana Jones. It's also definitely never happened in a James Bond movie.
Honestly, I thought it was a little stronger, Colin, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Like, just like there's a museum.
Yeah. Wrecker's good with his cannons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he with his jumps, apparently.
Yeah.
Also, he does not skip like that. Yeeting rampart.
Yeah.
So speaking of Kobe.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Fee comes in behind the turbo tank, and they're all getting out. They really can't stop the turbo tank, and we have Wrecker take that final jump as the turbo tank is going over. Did you guys have the fear of like him dropping and falling?
Yes,
or
yes,
okay. I have so much fear every time any of them are in a near death situation.
Me too.
Yeah,
This is it. They're gonna take out another one, and I'm gonna be devastated.
I have anxiety.
We're so close to the end that I feel like every time I'm just like,
yes, exactly.
Somebody's dead this time. And we got four episodes. We got four matches. Yes, they're going.
And I don't trust them. I think they might kill them all. They might kill half of them. I don't know. And I have no idea when they'll start doing it. It could be this episode, could be next episode. So
that's why I think the CX could be Cody. Like, I just expect the maximum amount of pain.
Yeah.
From finales to shows.
Oh, like this.
Yeah.
I think they're going to kill every single person.
They're going to kill Omega. Everybody.
Yeah, I think they're going to kill them all. I do.
This is not Rogue One, okay? Just.
We don't know that, Colin.
But, dude, they blew up the Marauder. They don't even have a ship anymore. They're all dead.
Wow.
Anyway, okay. So we were worried about Wrecker.
Yeah, Wrecker.
Yeah.
For sure.
Also, there's a couple moments in this episode where you can see that the Batch is leaning towards some darker tendencies that they picked up during their bounty hunting. You know, mercenary kind of days.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, like, you know, after they like successfully escape, which, you know, God, but like we get to the scene where like Rampart's gonna be woken back up for his interrogation, and Wrecker's just standing in front of him, just cleaning his knife.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like on. It's glowing.
Yeah.
Or even like Hunter smashing that TK into the side of the cliff, right? Because like the moment he's like hanging off, just rams him.
Yeah.
They're not playing. Yeah, they're not playing around.
Life is on the line. They do not play around.
No.
Okay. No. In Hunter's defense, I think the turbo tank had a blind spot. He probably didn't know.
No.
I want to give him that. That's fine. I have no problem with it.
The turbo tank was clearly designed by Tesla, so it's just covered in blind spots.
Jeez. Well. All right.
Sidekick.
Turbo tank more credit. The Cybertruck looks way worse.
That is fair.
So we.
Which would you rather buy, turbo tank or Cybertruck? Turbo tank.
Turbo tank had less rust.
Turbo tank. 100%.
Turbo tank has less rust. Yeah.
So we cut to Fee's ship, and we have Rampart waking up, and he basically says, I don't know the coordinates to Tantus. It was designed that way, but I might know a way around it. And then Crosshair threatens him, and then he's like, now, after all, we're in this together. And to me, that was just like, okay, how are they going to get to Tantus? Like, I want to know.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Who do we think is gonna know? Who do we think the final piece to that puzzle is gonna be?
I don't think it's a who. I think him saying that, like, I know a way around it. I think he knows how to get access to, like, what would trigger like a prisoner transport or like some like a way inside that's not necessarily coordinates, but like, oh, we can disguise ourselves as whatever, and then they'll send us the info. I don't know. Like, I don't think it's gonna be a hoop.
Yeah,
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
No.
That could be.
Yep. And we then go back to the final scene on Tantus, and Hemlock actually takes Omega into the vault where she pretty much meets all of the other four sensitive children. And then Hemlock is like, this is your home now. This is where you are. This is where you are going to be at, and you are going to help the Empire get where we want to go with these experiments.
And then as he started bringing her towards the vault, I was like, something's got to be up, because Hemlock isn't the type of villain that's going to do the classic reveal every detail to my master plan and foil everything. I was like, oh, they're going to do something to Omega here. And Hemlock, I kind of saw it coming a little bit, but at the same, like, it's not like I saw it coming in a bad way. I thought it was a good
Hemlock twist. Strikes me as the anti-monologue of a villain.
Yeah.
Whereas normal supervillains are like, here's my evil plan, giving you time to get out of the, you know, laser trap I set up for you. Hemlock is very much so like, no, you're going to stay there, and then you're going to wait.
Yeah.
And then what will happen will happen, and there's nothing you can do to stop it because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It just won't be nice to you.
Mm-hmm. And
also, because Josh can't be here to comment on it, the lighting when they're walking through those security rays, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid environments lighting.
And that's where the episode ends. And we've got three episodes left.
I had one closing question/thought.
All right, let's hear it.
Do we think the reason they could have brought Tarkin into the, well, two episodes ago and made him present in everybody's mind is because he could be the final piece, and Rampart's going to reach out to Tarkin and be like, hey, you want to know what's up on Tantus, and get Tarkin to dig up the info for the coordinates?
I just see Tarkin willing to work with someone who's been imprisoned on the Emperor's orders.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I wasn't really feeling either way. It was just a thought that popped into my head.
Yeah.
That was an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I mean, it could be Max Rebo. It could be anyone.
You know? Oh my God, Colin. Yeah. I mean, he's scheduled to do a tour there. So maybe they just.
That is how they do it. They have the Max Rebo band bus gets there. Hunter and them sneak on it. They're like in the back, and they're like, oh my God, we love Max Rebo. And then they go in and they get Omega out of there, and Commander Gree is alive in some way. And I don't know. I love that theory. I think that's interesting. But so we got three episodes left. I feel like there's a lot of loose ends to tie up still.
Do you think that the next episode, like the next three, are going to go straight into like the finale sequence, or do you think it's just going to be the last two?
I think the next one is probably going to end at the start of the finale sequence.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm hoping the last episode is at least over 40 minutes.
Yep. I'm really
hoping.
Have they released runtimes on the episodes yet?
I don't think so.
I haven't seen that. Okay. I've been checking.
Because something what I could see them doing on the next episode is the next episode is the last real like setup episode.
Okay.
Like the last, like getting all the dominoes into place.
Yeah.
And then the very last sequence in that episode is going to be that pushing the first domino.
Yeah.
And it opens on everything else.
Yeah.
Do you guys think we're going to see Cid again?
No. I think so. Not.
That's
maybe it's a trophy.
Not
on
a storyline I care about.
Damn, Christian. Okay.
I'm anti-Cid.
Wow, all right. Yeah, no, because of like I'm just trying to think of like of what things that they could do to like kind of, you know, kind of bring everything full circle. But also, we haven't seen Commander Wolf since that episode.
And I think he's got me on or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they end up talking to Wolf. And then Wolf is like, I know the way. I don't like the way the Empire's running stuff. I'm going to help you out.
I honestly kind of think we're done with Wolf, sadly. But we only got Cody for one episode in season two. So it kind of makes sense that we might just get Wolf for one episode. So.
I want to know how those storylines end up.
Yeah.
We all care about the clones.
Yeah.
Because of this show just presented us with the opportunity of learning more about clones, spending more time with clones, even though we got that throughout the Clone Wars. Love that. But we're experiencing now to where it's after our of that beloved time period of where the clones are processing of what's going on and the Empire shaping. And that was a very unique way of kind of having the clones present in the days of the Empire. So it's sad because to me, it just seems like yesterday that the first episodes of season three came out. So it's just like, oh my gosh, like we're only
I'm really sad
for the final episodes. The comparison of season three to season one and two is crazy in terms of.
It is.
It's plot driven. It is heavily plot driven.
Like season one was a lot of here's some setup. We're gonna build on these characters. We're gonna give you some filler, but that's gonna be like emotional growth for them. Season two had some genuine just here is filler fluff episodes, and season three has just been like any episode where you're not being punched in the face is only because you're being picked up and you can see them winding up for the hit.
It's been crazy fast pace.
And then after the Bad Batch ends on May 1st, a couple of days after, we get Tales of the Empire, which is fantastic, and Star Wars Day as well, which is it sounds like our group is all doing like different things in different places, but it's gonna be so much fun. And then the Phantom Menace is back in theaters that weekend.
Woo!
So pumped for that. That's gonna be awesome.
Is that what you're wearing, Hunter?
No, I have a different Jar Jar shirt that I'll be wearing to the Phantom Menace.
You're not wearing the hat to the Phantom Menace?
I will probably. I have a whole ridiculous Phantom Menace themed outfit that I'm trying to put together.
There you go.
All the Jar Jar apparel.
I've definitely not ordered some Padawan Obi-Wan braids and boots to work with.
Let's go. So does that mean that you're shaving the beard again where I didn't even know who you were?
I think Sai said if I ever shaved again, she would kill me. So no.
Oh,
okay.
But I will most likely try to find some way to like tone it down a bit.
And then shortly after in June 4th is when we get Acolyte. And then August 30th is when we get the new game Star Wars Outlaws. So it sounds like we're getting Star Wars pretty much all summer, which is pretty cool.
Let's go.
Yeah. But yeah. As soon as the Bad Batch ends, I'm going to be very sad for like a while. Just because of us as a group, we didn't start doing commentaries until the second season. But since then, I feel like our friend group has gotten closer just because of us coming in every week and just geeking out. And then we were doing the Clone Wars commentaries and it's been a ride. So hopefully we keep getting different Clone Wars content in different ways.
Yeah.
And if someone's going to do it, it's going to be Dave Filoni. So,
I was thinking about this. Because we had talked about this in our bigger podcast group chat with other tales of shows. If we don't have conclusion to the Wolf storyline through Bad Batch, I could maybe see a tales of the clones being a thing just in that way to tie that story up.
That would be awesome.
That's it.
I don't think they would, but like if they came out with another season of Tales of the Empire, I think a tale about a deserter from the Empire would be something that they could potentially put in there, even if it's not a clone.
A Cody or a Wolf story.
Tales of the, if you think about it, Tales is so far, it's been kind of focusing on Force sensitive people in some way. I consider Morgan like kind of Force sensitive, even though it's mainly magic, but, so, I mean,
I think clones would crush it. I think everyone would love it.
People would lose their mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Because if this show ends and we don't get anything about what happened to, like we know what's going to happen to Wolf because of Gene Rebels, but if we don't get anything about Commander Cody, I'm going to riot because that question has been there since the end of Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
And it's just been like, what happened to him? So if we don't hear anything, see anything, man.
There's a lot of clones, especially commanders and named clones that I'd want to get closure with.
Yep.
I want to get closure with Bly. I want to get closure you know, Neo. I want to get closure with Wolf.
Yeah.
I want closure with Cody.
Delta Squad?
I know, right?
Come on. If there's any place where Delta Squad to be inserted into the animated Star Wars, it's going to be a Tales of the Clones.
Yeah.
That would be a big thing.
For another clone show in the future, like, what do you guys think? Do you think there's like any hope for like a clone rebellion show that actually follows a bigger rebellion? Like,
there's the Bad Batch, and then there's the Good Batch, and then it's just them being happy all the time, and nothing bad happens in this show.
At the screening for the start of season 3, it was very heavily implied that this was going to be the ending of primarily clone-driven content.
Oh, God.
Granted, with how much love there is for clones, especially as our age groups are taking over more and more of Star Wars fandom, I can definitely see, D always being willing to come back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right?
So I could definitely see him maybe doing like a smaller Tales of kind of show.
Yeah.
But I doubt it would be primarily clone based. It'd be maybe half clone for half the episodes and half something else.
Mm-hmm. I wonder Tales if they ever... Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I wonder if they'd ever put out another animated feature length film.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering.
I mean, there's been so much love for the Clone Wars and literally every, well, I guess except Resistance, but literally every piece of animated Star Wars has received so much love that a feature film would probably do fantastic in the box office and it's going to cost them less than it would to produce a live action movie.
Yep.
Right.
So in that way, it makes sense.
Do you know what talking about Resistance really quick, the main thing that grinds my gears about that show is that the final scene is one of the main things is that they are they're on their way to Black Spire Outpost to go refuel, and we don't see it at all. We don't see it on screen at all. Mm-hmm. And I was so bummed about that. But if you do really love Galaxy's Edge, check out Young Jedi Adventures. Because I was latch hooking and I was running out of things, like, because, you know, I was trying to find like new Star Wars things to watch, and I've watched the Ewok movies hundreds of times. And I'm like, you know what? I need to watch something new. So I watched that, and that lines up with the High Republic. And it was the first Light of the Jedi book. Like, that entire show lines up with the first, like, everything, all the events happening in that first book. And they go to Galaxy's Edge. And they also celebrate Life Day. And they end up going to Kashyyyk. It's really cool. I would check out that show. It's pretty cool. And it's canon. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think basically what we're trying to say is we want more Star Wars content, which I don't think that's going to be ending anytime soon. And there's, you know, there's that love of the Clone Wars that's been there, since most of us were kids. So I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. And I think if Dave Filoni is still there, then that love and spark for the Clone Wars is just going to keep going in some form, in some way.
I mean, my love of clones started as soon as I saw clones on screen in Attack of the Clones in theaters.
Yep.
On Kamino, saw them, and I was immediately hooked. I was like, "That's my new favorite thing."
Yep.
Yep. Star Wars, man. There you
go. Star Wars, man.
Is there any closing thoughts? Any? No. Nothing.
I really want the batch to be okay.
I do too, but yeah, they're not.
It'll happen, but I really want the batch to be okay.
Yeah, I do too, but I don't think they will. It's not. I'm not ready for the show to end yet.
No, I'm not either.
Well, from all of us from the Star Stuff Podcast, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week, episode 14. May the Force be with you always.